Genesis and chapter 4, and if we just look at the last verse, verse 26. And then if we look at the second half of that verse, it reads like this. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So let's turn now to the New Testament, the book of the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 2, and one verse there, verse 21. Acts chapter 2 and verse 21. And that reads like this. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And just finally, let's go back into the Old Testament to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. And this would be our third and final reading. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6. And it reads like this. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And we trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his good word. We have read three very short verses in very different parts of the Bible, but yet they all seem to have the same phrase within it. Calling upon the name of the Lord. And it's that little phrase that I just want to think about with you this evening. Starting perhaps at the beginning. Genesis is a book of beginnings. In chapter 1, in fact, verse 1 of the book of Genesis, of our whole Bible, it reads like this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we know that from then on, all other things were created. God created light. Let there be light, and there was light. His word has power. We also read in the book that man was created. There was the beginning of the human race. And we know that Adam was the name of the first man, and he was made from the dust of the earth, which is why when we die, we return to dust, because that was what we were made out of. We also read about Eve, his wife, who was made from him. And then we have the first married couple in the Bible. We also read in the book of Genesis about the beginning of the Hebrew race, the Jewish people, and it all centers and begins with that man, Abraham. So the book of Genesis is all about beginnings. It's also the book where we read about the beginning of sin. Sin. It's such a short word. Doesn't last very long. It's only three letters, S-I-N. But yet, it presents itself as the biggest problem. Such a small word, but such a big problem. And we read that in the book of Genesis. And you know what? We read it pretty much everywhere else in the Bible. And sin began when Adam, the first man, disobeyed God. God gave him an instruction. Do not eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. And Adam, knowing exactly what he was doing, disobeyed God. He sinned against God. And while that was just one thing that he did, that was just one act of disobedience, it was like a gate for all sin to come in. So much so that we read in Genesis chapter 4, but by that point, only by the fourth chapter, man had already disobeyed God. A woman had also disobeyed God. And murder had taken place between two sons, two brothers, Cain and Abel. And in fact, they were the sons of Adam and Eve. And so already, the second generation of humanity, there's murder. And that is what sin is. Sin is an awful and evil power and principle that rules over the hearts and minds of men and women. And we've seen it in the way that Adam acted, the way that Eve acted, the way that their children acted. And next thing you know, it's 2025, and you can look around and you can see sin everywhere. And you can see inside your own self, and you will see sin there also. For example, pride. We don't like being wrong, do we? We don't like being told that we're wrong. And it's because of our pride. We don't like being shown up. We always want the best thing for ourselves, even if it means at the expense of other people. It's that desire to please self. And that's just a very tame example of what sin is. It's an example of it. We could think of worse ones, for example, like murder itself, among other things. But they are the outward showing of the problem of sin. They are sins. Sin is in the heart. We learn that in the book of James. That sin always begins here. It's our heart that's the problem. And so it doesn't matter how hard we try to change ourselves. We can try as hard as we can. We can make promises and we can make commitments to ourselves. I will not tell a lie today. I will not look at this thing today. But we're just so ill-disciplined. We just can't keep it. We might keep it for a day. We might keep it for a week or for a year. But then there is that inevitability that we will fail. Why? Because it's our heart that's the problem. And you can't change the heart. I can't change my heart. I can't change yours. And you can't change yours either. So the problem of sin is really a problem of the heart. Adam had shown it. And so because Adam sinned, sin has spread across the whole human race. Because we're all from Adam. There's a verse in the book of Romans and it says, well, for by one man, that's Adam, sin entered, and death by sin. So sin doesn't just cause us to sin, but it is also the reason why there is death. Sin, somewhere along the line, results in death. And so we die because of sin. And so sin is truly an awful thing. We would all understand that. But that's coming from humans. That's coming from men and women, boys and girls, like us here. We understand that. Now imagine what it's like for God to see sin. It's far worse. Well, because he is God. God himself cannot sin. He does not have a heart like ours. Our hearts are full of sin. His heart is full of love, full of grace, full of righteousness, full of holiness. He can only ever do the right thing. He never makes mistakes. He never fails. And so when God sees sin, it must be punished. If he didn't punish it, then he wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be righteous. And so God must punish sin. Well, what does that mean for you and I? Well, our hearts are full of sin. And that simply means this, that we are heading for judgment. That is where we're going. Remember, sin takes us to death. But we read in the Bible that after death, there is an appointment that we have to keep. We didn't sign up for it, but we have to be there. And it's an appointment with God. There's a verse in the Bible and it says this: it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. God must punish sin. And as sinners, me and you, we must be punished. We must be judged. And the Bible makes it abundantly clear where sin takes us. It takes us to death, but it takes us to eternal death. That is death that lasts forever. And the Bible describes it as hell, the lake of fire that cannot be quenched, but goes on and on. That's where sin takes us. So we've heard that here this evening. And people knew that in times past. People knew that in Bible times. Sin doesn't just mean that death is where we're going, but it also makes life hard, doesn't it? Life's not simple, and it's normally because we make it complicated. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs, and it's quite plain, and it says this: the way of the sinner is hard. And it's so true. Every sinful decision that we make, it has consequences, doesn't it? We might commit a sin, and then we will lie to cover it up, and keep lying, and keep lying, and lying, and lying, and then it comes to the point where we cannot lie anymore. And then we have to face the consequence of all that we've done. The way of the sinner is hard. It's tough. In fact, when sin came into the world, it made everything tough. Work then became tough. For women, labor became tough. And it's all because of sin. And you know what? In Genesis chapter 4, where we read, they felt that. They felt how hard sin had made life. And so began men to call upon the name of the Lord. This is not a phone call. This is a call for help. This is more than that. This is a cry of desperation. People were feeling the weight of sin, and so they called upon the name of the Lord. It was desperate. But what this call was, it was an expression of dependency. They realized that because of sin, they couldn't help themselves. They were the cause of their own problems. They also understood that other sinners have their own problems. They have their own sins. And so they can't help them. And that leaves God. You know, the world in which we live today is most unusual because it is the first society, I suppose, that has said that there is no God. Which is unusual. Throughout the history of time, many people have believed that there is a God, but now we live in a world where there is no God, apparently. We know from the Bible that that is untrue. That there is a God, that there is the Lord God who created all things. But what is most interesting is that this atheistic world in which we live will turn to God at some point. And you see it every now and again. And they sometimes do it in a good way and they sometimes do it in a bad way. For example, when people get exasperated with their life, when life becomes hard and tough, they become the victim and they blame God. There's no one else to blame and they can't blame themselves, so they blame God and they get angry and they shake their fist at God and they say, God, why have you done this? And they hate God, even though they say that they don't believe in him. There are others, perhaps, like a friend of mine, whose grandfather was ill. And he came to me and he said, Joel, would you please pray for my grandfather? He's not well. And I suppose he was coming to me so that his grandfather would be healed. But what's interesting is that my friend that came to me did not believe in God. He believed that there is no God and any thought of God is nonsense. But yet, when life got hard, there was something within him that wanted to reach out to God. You see, the world in which we live says there is no God, but yet they themselves cannot contain the fact that there is one. And they're a lot like the people of Genesis chapter 4. The hardness of life. They call upon the name of the Lord. What's interesting about this phrase is that there is no one else that they're calling to. It is only the name of the Lord. And what does that phrase mean, the name of? Well, when we consider the word name, my name is Joel. But that's not what it's thinking of here. A name is a reputation. We might say that so-and-so has a good name. Not because we like the sound of their name, but because they themselves might be a good person. They have a good name. Their reputation is intact. They are calling upon the name of the Lord. They are calling upon the Lord God and who he is. You see, back then, there was a knowledge of God. And my fear is that we live in a society today that has forgotten or knows very little about the Lord God, who is merciful, who is loving, who wants to save everybody, who doesn't want to condemn anybody. And it is him that they cried out to. And so this call that we've read of in Genesis chapter 4 is a call of dependence. They are calling out depending on the Lord. We then read of in Acts chapter 2 a very similar sentence, but very different. So we read this: whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's different. Because now we're finding out that something happens when we call upon the name of the Lord. But let's just break this sentence down. Let's start with the first word, whosoever. Whosoever. Who is that? Everybody. Anybody. If anybody calls on the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. The wonderful thing about the Bible is this, is that it's God's word. So if it says something, it's true. And it also means that if God says that he will do something, you can hold him accountable to it. Because he won't fail, he will keep his promise. So if God says, if we call on the name of the Lord, will be saved. That's wonderful news. That's excellent news. That is not a difficult thing to do. He's not asking you to travel around the world. He's not asking you to go on a pilgrimage. He's not asking you to go out and get baptized and make all arrangements for that. It's simply this. Call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. We thought of, in Genesis 4, that was a call of dependence. When a call is made, when you cry out for help, you are depending on that thing. This one is another call of dependence, but it's also a call of deliverance. You see that bit at the end? Will be saved. This is different to what we read first. Those words weren't in there in Genesis chapter 4, but they are now. Whosoever, that's anybody, that's me, that's the back row, that's anyone in this hall, and anyone outside of it, if anyone calls on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. From what? From what? Is it that life gets kind of tricky sometimes and I might make a mistake and I've really created a rod for my own back? No. The Lord is more interested in saving more sincere things. My friend, the sin that is in your heart and all the sins that you have committed that are taking you to hell, the Lord can save you from. He can save you. And that is the simplicity of this verse. The reason why it's whosoever is because the invitation, that's what this verse is, the invitation is open. So anyone that realizes that they're a sinner, perhaps for the first time, realizes that they're a sinner, that they're guilty in God's eyes, that they're heading for hell and they deserve to be there, and they cry out to the Lord to save them, he'll save them. And it's so simple. And because God says it in his word, we can trust it entirely. Notice that it's just a call, nothing else. The reason why it's just a call, we're being asked to depend upon the Lord here. The reason why we can only depend is because there is nothing else that we can actually do. Because we're sinners, we're ruined. We can't be fixed. We can't do a thing that's going to make everything right, that can fix things, polish it all up. We need outside help. They realized that in Genesis 4. That's what this verse is saying here. Call upon the name of the Lord. We need the Lord to save us. But why is it the Lord? Why the Lord? Why him? Why no one else? The reason why it's the Lord is because the Lord came into this very world. He was born of a Virgin Mary, and they called his name Jesus. The reason why they called his name Jesus is because he will save. There's that word again. He will save his people from their sins. And so that's why in Acts chapter 2 verse 21, we read that bit at the end. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because they are looking to the Lord Jesus to save them. And by depending upon him, they're saved. I wonder, have you ever depended on the Lord Jesus to save you? Have you ever trusted him? Maybe you accept the fact that, yes, I am a sinner. And I know that I'm going to hell. And I know that I have sins in my life. And I desperately want rid of them. Well, have you ever trusted the Lord? Because this verse here says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To call is to trust. It is to depend. The Bible has lots of different call to actions. Believe is another word that's mentioned. Depend, rest, rely, call. They're all the same thing. It's dependence. So if you have never trusted the Lord, if you've never depended on the Lord Jesus to save you, now's your chance. Now's your chance. You may never get the opportunity again. That is why we have this meeting. This is actually so serious. Because if we don't call upon the Lord, if we don't depend upon him, then how can we be saved? There's no one else that can save us. There's no other God. There's no other human. There's no thing that can be done. It's only the Lord. Which is why, well, in our last verse that we read of, we've thought of a call of dependence. We've thought about a call of deliverance. Well, this call that we're talking about, trusting the Lord, it's a call that has a deadline. It has a deadline. We can't live our life pretending that at the end of our life we will call upon the Lord. Because we don't even know if we have tomorrow. All you have is now. And that verse that we read of is, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. And our message to you today is that the Lord Jesus is near. The Lord Jesus can be found. He's near, which means he can hear your call. But there is going to be a time where he will not be near. There will be a time when someone will call and it will be too late. Too late to be saved. There was a man in the Bible and his name is Peter. And there was one time where he was out on a boat, he and the other disciples. And there was this tremendous, tempestuous storm. And they all thought they were going to die. And they noticed in the distance that there seemed to be a ghost. There seemed to be a ghost that was walking on the water to them. But then when the ghost got closer to us, to them, they then realized, actually, that's not a ghost. That's the Lord, Jesus. And then Peter, in his bravery and his courage, he said, Lord, if it's you, call me to come out to you. Crazy. And so the Lord called him. And so Peter, in the storm, puts one foot outside the boat and he stands on the water. And then the Lord kept him afloat as he walked towards him. But as he was nearing the Lord while walking on water, he noticed the waves, how big they were. He felt the spit and the mist of the cold water spraying on his face. He heard the wind howling across his ears. And he took his eyes off the Lord. And in an instant, began to sink. Thankfully, the Lord was near. So near, in fact, that he was able to hear Peter's cry. And fortunately for Peter as well, there was just enough time before he went underwater, just enough time to say, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." What has Peter done just there? He's called upon the name of the Lord. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "Whoever, even Peter, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved." And so the Lord Jesus, bang, hand out, pulls Peter to safety and walks him across the water back to the boat. And so there's just an example of the Lord Jesus responding immediately to someone's call and saving them. Did you know that the Lord Jesus does exactly that today? You might not be in a boat. You might not be in a storm. The Lord might not be walking on the water. But you are in your sins. And there is a hell that we're all headed to. But if we call upon the name of the Lord, "Lord, save me," and we depend upon him, we'll be saved. So I ask the question again. Have you ever called upon the name of the Lord? Have you ever been saved? And the wonderful thing is this. Peter was saved that day. And Peter wasn't just saved that day, but he was saved forevermore. Where is Peter today? That's a good question. Peter's in heaven. Because when the Lord Jesus saves, he doesn't just save you from one sin, or from two sins, or three. He saves you from all of them, even the ones you haven't done yet. And he doesn't just save you from your sins. He forgives you. He looks at you in a totally different way. He no longer looks at you as a sinner filled with guilt. But he looks at you as a very child of God. Who's been forgiven. Who's in the family of God. In fact, he would say that you're one of his brethren. How different. How different. Well, that's what the Lord Jesus does when we call upon him. There are people here that have called upon the name of the Lord and they've been saved. And they can tell you all about it at the end. How different things are. The joy and the hope that they have, knowing that their sins are forgiven, never to trouble them anymore. They have a relationship with the Creator God that they never had before. They have a home in heaven that's waiting for them, prepared for them by the Lord Jesus himself. And the reason why it's the Lord Jesus that we can call upon is because 2,000 years ago, this was a real event, this happened. Jesus Christ of Nazareth died upon a cross. While he was on the cross, he suffered my sins. And he suffered the sin of the world. And he died upon the cross that day as a sacrifice to God so that any sinner, whether that be me or you, that calls upon him, he saves them. Because the price has been paid. Isn't that wonderful news? The Lord Jesus, who died upon a cross, also rose again from the dead. So he lives forever. So the same man that pulled Peter out of the water is the same man that can save you from your sins. If you call upon him while he is near, while there is time. And so I end with that simple challenge. If you depend upon the Lord Jesus and you trust him to save you from your sins, he'll save you. But this is so serious that you really mustn't put it off. Don't say, I will do this tomorrow. Don't say, I will get to this on my deathbed. Because I tell you what, there are some people that don't get that chance. There are some people that don't live to see another day. And that could be you. So seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And we trust that the Lord will bless his good word to us. Let's close with a word of prayer. If there's any questions or anything like that, I'd be happy to answer them at the end. And after closing in prayer, the meeting is finished. Shall we pray?